Betty, you lived right next to the church growing up. What was it like growing up next to it?
It was really a wonderful spiritual experience. Even though I did belong to another church, I always used to listen to the music that flowed out of Timmons Temple. And it was almost like a magnet. It would draw you in. And when I heard that it was going to be destroyed, I almost cried. It just really broke my heart, because to think of all that had gone on there, the families that were there, and the people that had grown up inside that church, and all the contributions that that church had made to the people in the neighborhood, it frightened me. And I just wondered why they wanted to tear it down. I couldn't imagine, knowing the history of it, how it was built and everything. So it was hard for me to believe that they were going to tear it down. And then I made acquaintance with Paula Ringer, and she and her husband and Lori, they all were working so hard to help save that church, because it was part of our Black history. And it seemed that a lot of the Black history was being destroyed in Springfield. So they put out such a great effort to get it moved, and can't thank them enough for doing that. They are really the ones that helped save the church, that saved the church, I should say. And I know that everyone who attended it or grew up in it is really appreciative of that.
Now, how did the effort to save the church get started? Now, going back, first of all, it was going to be raised to make room for apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. How did the effort to save Timmons Temple get started?
Well, first of all, you know, it came before council. It was going to be demolished. Midtown Neighborhood made an appeal to save the church. David Aslick, who served on the Landmarks Board with me, called me up and said, we need to do something. And so that was kind of the beginning of the team. David reached out to Lori, who was very involved with trails that went around and the church. And so it really was the power of the team that really made this happen. You know, we had Landmarks Board members. We had Lori Tack, who had PR and communication skills. My skills are in communication. Ralph put a budget together that, what's it really going to take? So we knew it'd take around $250,000. But what was the catalyst? Well, the catalyst was the developer. We talked to the developer, and they gave us $70,000. It was going to be around $60,000, we understood, to demolish it. And so when we talked to them, we said, you know, help us out here. And so that made the project real, that it could happen when they agreed to $70,000. So it really was the skill levels of a combination of people, Denny Wayne with all of his experience with the city and his relationship with the trades, who put us in contact with the trades, that they might donate labor and bring their apprenticeship programs for the renovation side. We reached out and researched who would move it, and we talked to maybe three companies, and Tilton and Sons were the third generation house movers. They knew what they were doing. They gave us a bid for $105,000. So we knew to get the building from its original footprint to the park, it was going to be $105,000. So that was the first hurdle. We had $70,000 of that. But really, then that caused the momentum to make it start working. And then we got private donations, not only financial donations, but people, masons that came forward and gave us a great deal on fixing walls on the renovation side. And you know, we had to take the porch off, so we had to put the porch back. We saved all the rocks. We had Richard Burton wrote a nomination, so we secured, we knew all the things to do. We secured all the history. We documented all the history. We took pictures of every rock and labeled the rocks so that we could put the porch back together. And so it really is, the project's success is all of the people.
Like a diverse
in Springfield.
Partnership.
All the citizens in Springfield can own a piece of this, because it really is. It was the city. It was the parks. It was the Springfield News Leader. It was the media like you that got behind it. And it was like once people caught the fever that it was something that we all got on board with.
I think it was amazing to see how many people were skeptical. Everyone wanted to be saved, but everyone was skeptical until we got the donation from the developer to kickstart it, like Paula said, and then to see it actually happen and people jump on board with a huge passion, like they started to believe, and to see people not believe and turn to believers, I thought that was one of the most interesting parts of this project.
And it was, what, 5 years ago that you started, formed Friends of Temin's Temple and got this effort going? It's hard to believe it's been that long.
5 and a half, almost.
And so how does it feel to get to this point where tomorrow you're holding the grand opening?
Exhilarating. It's wonderful. And I hope everyone comes down and takes part in that.
And that's tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, part of the Juneteenth celebration at Silver Springs Park. That's at 1100 North Hampton. What will the building be used for now that it's renovated and open?
Well, now that the Springfield Green County Park Board has taken ownership of the building, they are doing all kinds of things. They've just planted some lovely bushes and things, and it'll be an event center and a place where we can share history and just really get to know each other face to face and learn about these great stories that might not have been told or heard if it weren't for this project. And also the African American Heritage Trail that has developed, yes, as part of a route that incorporates the Jordan Creek Greenway, which is right next to the building, which we think is amazing. Everything's just coming together. And I mean, it really has been a monument of faith for us.
Mm-hmm. You know? It has. I mean, it's serendipity that an African American icon would be right next door to Springfield's first African American park, which just celebrated 100 years. The church was built in 1932, and so almost as old as the park. And, you know, the whole thing, this whole idea started with Temin's on Texas and Webster to build a church where people's lives could be improved, you know. And
their doors were always open.
That's still going to happen, you know. It's and so much more exciting to walk in and around a building than read about it in a book. And tomorrow, they're going to be able to do that.
So. And Betty, you said something about how you felt like the importance, like why do you think it's important that this building was saved? Like obviously it's more than just a building.
I feel so good to know that's going to be there forever. The building now stands down in the park where the stones that made that building came from. It makes me feel good to know that we saved it, you know, and I just like to try to encourage the people of the community to come out and get involved and save what little heritage we have left in Springfield. Get involved and take part in it, because you might not think there's anything you can do, but if you just come and ask, what can I do to help? Because there's not too many other places we have left here in Springfield that reminds us of our heritage.
Now, what advice would you guys give people who are maybe thinking about starting an effort to save an historic structure here in Springfield or the area?
We learned so much in this project. You know, we had such a great team that all had their area of expertise. Every single person that worked on this project was a valuable component, and it may not have worked without all those people's help. And so we have a wealth of information about how we made this work and all the components, and we would be more than happy to talk to anyone, whether it's an official or a resident, a private citizen, a company, to tell the ins and outs and the hurdles that we had to go over, so that another citizens group doesn't have to take up a big important cause like this, that it would already be kind of in our minds and our processes. And, you know, that's how we learn. We talk and we share information. So mm-hmm. We'd be happy to talk to anyone who has questions about how we made this happen.
How does it feel to get to this point where, you know, you've spent 5 and a half long years working toward this, and now it's here?
It's crazy, I think. What do you guys think? It's like we just got our master's degree and now we're out of school and what do we do? I was so intense for 5 years that running a marathon and getting done and going, no. Well, yeah. Wow, it happened.
Yeah, you learn so much. You learn so much, you know, you every day you learn 500 new things, you know. It's just historic preservation very often gets positioned in a bad light. And if we could twist that and move it to a different venue, and that is that it is a resource. Your Landmarks Board is a resource for the materials and the information that you need to save a historic property. We have lots of people in the community that have the knowledge and expertise, and there's lots of former members of the Landmarks Board. There's lots of active people that are working today that might have written nominations for historic properties that know the steps. And, you know, we have a great resource in our state office. And that was kind of the beauty, too, is that David and I knew who to reach out to on the state level. So we had the state level come in and acknowledge. We had senators and representatives. We had influential people in this community that we knew that their voice would make a difference on how people looked at this property. But it was to our benefit that the property had already been called out. It's important. And so we're grateful. You know, the community's grateful. The African American community is grateful.
And if we could do this together, imagine what else we could do together.
Now, tell me again, you were talking before we were recording, but how this property had been listed on a couple of different lists of important structures.
In 1989, when the Urban Conservation District was established for Midtown, there were contributing structures that were called out. Timmins Temple was one of them. And at that time, it was also recommended by the state office that we do a local nomination. Local nominations are written by private individuals. The city doesn't do that. A private individual has to write those and fund that. In 2005, there was a rock masonry study by the city, 360 rock masonry properties. They called out 50. Timmins Temple was one of the 50. It was the most unique rock church in Springfield.
I would like to alert the Black community to keep your eyes and ears open about any of our heritage that is about to be torn down. Now you know where to go and who to talk to. There's an old saying, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you, and that's the way it's been. So from now on, when you hear something's going to happen, bring it to us so we can do something about it, and you can get involved and do something about it.
Oh, yeah, and none of us knew each other before. I mean, we loosely knew many of us had never met before. I didn't know these guys before, and now I've got two amazing lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, lasting friendships in the African-American community. While we worked on this project, they came and sat, and we sat outside the temple till 7 o'clock at night, and they would tell me stories about Silver Springs, about the church and
the sense of
rich
community,
collective memories,
and all sorts of people in the park having fun all day long and just
all day long. When I was a teenager, I was in that park every day in the summer from sun up to sundown, eat breakfast and go back for dinner.
And everybody's families looked out for each other's kids, and it was all
wonderful
colors and sizes and shapes. And
yes.
I guess I shouldn't say sizes and shapes.
Yes. It was a pretty amazing thing in March of 2015 when that building rolled down Webster Street and backed into Silver Springs Park on 18 dollies, and they were operating with a remote control.
Like a joystick.
I mean, it was truly just magnificent. And it just shows. It goes back to that monument of faith. If you believe that you can do it, and really,
and
as a team,
together.
We all lifted each other out of darkness when it was rough days and believed that this was going to be a success, and it has been. But everybody that was a part of this can take ownership of it. And I can't thank the media enough, particularly, you know, the Springfield News Leader. Every Monday, they put an insert about Timmins Temple for week after week after week to remind people this is what we need to do. And, you know, and they would have some history of Springfield along on that same page. And so we're grateful. It's we're grateful to you, Michelle, who have followed this story from the beginning. I remember you being out and talking to us about it when we first started.
Thank you guys so much for coming in and talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.